Yesterday on The Wire, historian Henry Reynolds spoke about his latest book, an updated version of The Whispering in Our Hearts, which he wrote 20 years ago. That book exposed much of the violence between Indigenous people and white settlers. Today we hear from Henry Reynolds again in the second part of that interview. Here he is explaining to Annie Haswell why he was first prompted to start researching the place of Aboriginal people in this country's frontier history.
When I started teaching Australian history, as a very young academic, I was given the textbook, which was the most common textbook used in universities and senior high schools, and it didn't have anything about the Aborigines. They weren't even in the index. Now, because I was teaching in North Queensland, I realised there was something drastically wrong with this. How could you talk about Australian history without having the Indigenous people in it at all? I have to admit that I would only have realised this because I was living in what was still frontier, multiracial Australia.
Do you think you've brought any of those historians over to your side by producing the evidence, by producing these voices from the past?
Oh, yes, many of them. I mean, some of them thought, attention-seeking, radical, troublemaker, all of that. But by and large, they were swayed by the evidence, and the evidence became overwhelming because more and more people began to do the research. But it wasn't just the sort of serious history books and articles in journals, but it was that many other people in other genres took this up. I mean, journalists and filmmakers and songwriters and painters and playwrights and novelists all sort of gathered up this material and began to change the arts as well as just history itself.
So where are we up to now? Because in your book you point out that about the year 2000 things were looking really good. Australians, walked across the bridge in massive numbers and people signed sorry books and everybody, it was like we were coming to terms with our past, but that seems to have dissipated.
Yes, at the end of the reconciliation movement, that there certainly was a very, very widespread sense that we had to, say sorry, which was, the slogan that was used, or that we had to come to terms with our past. I think that is still there. And in many ways, there was a reaction in the so-called history wars. We had a change of government in 1996. The idea of reconciliation was at the end of the 10 years, there would be basically a treaty, a document. But John Howard felt this was quite out of the question. And so you had a much more conservative view and a campaign against what he called the Black Arm view of history. But as a result of the history wars, there were people doing new research all over Australia. And that new research has been overwhelming and irrefutable, I think. Strangely enough, there is a tremendous paper trail, particularly in the 19th century, because people openly talked about violence. They didn't debate whether it happened. They debated whether it was necessary and whether it was moral, not whether it happened. Everyone knew that out in the frontier there was a great deal of violence. And, of course, the other problem with Australia, and this came from the British, who didn't recognise Aboriginal property rights and didn't recognise that they had any form of sovereignty. And so there were no treaties, unlike North America, where there were hundreds of treaties in both the United States and Canada and also in New Zealand. So Australia is in this anomalous situation of not ever really coming to terms legally with what had happened, because we began with this fatal flaw that was handed to us by the British.
Where are we now? We've had the Uluru Statement rejected, basically. Aboriginal people want something more. The story is certainly not over yet. Where do you think we're heading?
Well, I think the Uluru Statement will remain one of the great constitutional documents in Australian history. I think Australian governments will have to deal with it. If not, I suspect that what will happen is that Indigenous people and their supporters will begin to do as people did throughout the period my book's about. They will turn overseas. They used to go to Britain. They used to go to the Anti-Slavery Society. They then went to the League of Nations. They then went to the UN. Now, this is not just a national question. It is an international question. And it is covered by many of the great international documents. I think that Australia will increasingly have pressure on it, as it has done in the past, about finding a way to come to terms with its Indigenous people, particularly now as they own so much of North Australia and live on it and live on the most strategic parts of Australia. They can't be ignored. You can essentially brush aside the activists in the cities, but you can't brush aside the people who are actually in ownership and control of much of the country.
Historian Henry Reynolds discussing his new book, The Whispering of Our Hearts, Revisited.